Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. In today's episode, we go back to Lenovo. I, along with my guests today, who I will introduce in a minute, attended the company's annual Global Industry Analyst Conference, GIAC as it's called. It was in October, held at Lenovo's US headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was an excellent event, well planned and organized and executed. And unlike other years, this year's event was separately held from Lenovo's other public event called Tech World. That event is in January, co-located with CES this year, or rather next year, and it'll be held at the Las Vegas Sphere, which should be exciting. So going back to GAIC, as the name suggests, was only for analysts, and as you could imagine, was smaller, more cozy, with lots of NDA discussions and so on. Also, focus was more on strategy and dialogue rather than coverage or public positioning. To discuss the key takeaways from the event, I have with me today my two good friends and fellow analysts, Leonard Lee from NextCurve, who you all know, has been on the show a few times, and Anurag Agarwal, his first time in the show. He is the founder and chief global analyst at TechAisle. Anurag is the guru of SMB and channel marketing. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here, Prakash.
Perfect. We'll talk about the services each of them offer and where to get the research and content toward the end of the show. So, you know, be prepared for that. I want to make one thing very clear before we start with the discussion. As I mentioned before, a lot of this content and discussions at the event were under NDA. So, you know, all the discussions here, what we talk about is based on publicly available information and our views and opinions as independent analysts. Nothing we discuss here is confidential or material information. Okay, with that, let's get on with the questions. So the first one, as I mentioned, this year's GIAC was separate from Tech World. Did you guys think that affected the event in any way, positively or negatively?
I think it was just positive.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to be honest, I wasn't really a big fan of the event last year.
Mm-hmm.
Were too many distractions. The executives weren't available as much. And, you know, there was also press there. And so one of the beauties about GIAC is the intimate and Chatham House rules type engagement that we have with Lenovo.
Yeah.
And that brings not only, I would say, differentiating value for us in terms of the level of sharing that we're able to have with Lenovo, but I think the Lenovo teams benefit tremendously from our candor, right? And it's usually a debate, especially the first one that I was part of with Anurag.
Mm-hmm.
That one was focused on IDG in New York, and that was fantastic. I think everybody got a lot out of it on both sides from the analyst perspective as well as Lenovo.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought a huge improvement, and it was an improvement over the GIAC that happened in at the headquarters in Raleigh the year before. So good stuff.
Cool.
And it was the first time they brought one Lenovo. You know, 2 years ago is when the first time they brought one Lenovo together as a theme.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So Anurag, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with what Leonard is saying. You know, from an analyst perspective,
mm-hmm.
separating GIAC from really the massive scale Tech World has clear benefits, right?
Yeah.
Because it allows for a deeper, more candid and interactive level of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Like the frank feedback we were able to provide on some of their strategies, some of the roadmaps.
Yeah.
And you cannot simply get that kind of two-way dialogue
mm-hmm.
amidst the noise of a really major product launch event, which is like a Tech World, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side,
mm-hmm.
is that it can sometimes dilute the big bang energy, so to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real test is execution. Did their deep dive strategy we heard at GIAC align with the splashy public-facing narrative at tech world, right? I think ultimately it's a trade-off between spectacle and substance. For my purposes and objective, the substance and access we get in a focused setting like the GIAC separate from tech world is really, really invaluable.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also have the same feeling. And although these are two separate events, even when they're combined one after the other, but there is always overhang and, you know, executives are pretty busy for, it was sometimes hard to compartmentalize what is public and what is not public. So a lot of times they might be over cautious on, you know, being being open in GIAC compared to a public setting, right? So even, I mean, I attend, last year's was my first attending both of these events together. Even when you are trying to write and a post on LinkedIn, Twitter, X, or whatever, you are also a little bit more cautious whether, you know, whether it's NDA, non-NDA, public, not public. So yeah, I think, you know, clear demarcation is better. And then the tech world happening at Sphere, I think it's an added advantage. It's even more splashy and really very interesting to attend, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, GIAC is all about work. And that's the way I look at it. Yeah. And, you know, any analysts that go there thinking that, hey, you know, this is more about flash than substance, they probably shouldn't be there. That's not what it's about. And, you know, it's a program that is actually kind of new. And IDG takes a lot of credit. They're the pioneers of this and the work of, you know, Scott Amoros, as well as Emily Ketchin, in really expanding the program. And now we're starting to see IDG, ISG, NSSG start to participate in these analyst engagements, which I think is really important for the company. And I think it was really great 2 years ago, like I mentioned, that they brought one Lenovo to the program, because I, you know, I cover a lot of stuff and I'm interested in everything that they do. This whole pocket to cloud spectrum that they have, I think is super interesting for me and the research I do. So I'm glad to see it. Although it is a little bit challenging because some analysts tend to focus on a narrow area or a specific business group or even a product group. And so this one Lenovo thing doesn't resonate as much for them. So I think it's been tricky for the Lenovo AR team to find a balance, but I think this year they've kind of hit that balance. There's definitely room for improvement, but they're moving in the right direction, which I think is really great.
Yeah, and I think that is becoming a little bit more clear even from outside. Right? Earlier it was, you had to really look for that one Lenovo message to find it, but now it is pretty apparent. So, yeah, and also agree with you on Scott Amoros. I mean, he has kind of done a superhero job here, coalescing all the folks together. Now that goodness is, you know, spilling over to the other other units as well. So, yeah, kudos to all the hard work he did putting this together. So, Anurag, your views on overall, you know, impressions of the event and key takeaways?
Sure, absolutely. And yes, kudos to Scott and Emily. Definitely, they are the instigators and the primary drivers of this.
Instigators.
Every year, it kind of improves. So you asked about my key takeaway from this whole event, right? We did talk about this one Lenovo strategy. So let me double down on it a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's the maturation of the one Lenovo strategy that we saw, right? It seemed no longer just an organizational chart. It seemed to be a tangible AI-driven go-to-market framework. And the story of IDG, ISG, and SSG is finally gelling. With SSG in particular acting as the high-growth connective tissue, right? I mean, we can't talk about their numbers that they shared with us, but definitely the high growth connective tissue with several customer wins. The other area which I found very interesting, the two more areas, was Lenovo is doubling down on its hybrid AI vision, a strategy they have held for 2 years. And this now looks incredibly, you know, fortunate, prescient. as enterprises are becoming generally concerned with AI's data sovereignty, cost, and latency issues.
Yeah.
All of which hybrid or bringing, I think somebody's mentioned AI, bringing AI to the data helps solve. The second area, which I really liked, was what Jeff talked about in his partner presentation.
Yeah.
The radical simplification of the channel program. And the most striking tactical move is the 90% reduction in channel incentives.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a number, this is an NDA, a number, but the key point is because the partners are recognizing it, because this is a bold, high stakes gamble to move away from confetti bonuses and toward fewer, richer incentives that are bespoke to a partner's joint business plan. It's a clear sign that they value deep strategic alignment over a broad transactional partner base. So I think these are the two or three key takeaways for me from the GIAC.
So, Leonard, you talked about one Lenovo.
I think they're still in the early days of this strategy. Obviously having, you know, some teething issues, but I can't underscore how difficult this journey is, having, you know, consulted in this area actually for years. It's not easy, especially making this transition toward being more solutions oriented, especially that they're primarily and still heavily a hardware centric company, bringing services, bringing software, bringing security together into more of a holistic package, it's very difficult. And so what I think is promising is that some of the critical relationships that need to happen between IDG and SSG are being effectively moderated by SSG, right? Which is their strategy and solutions group. And that really is their purpose. And so it's always tricky to navigate the governance and the incentives around, you know, realizing this one XYZ type of vision, in this case, the Lenovo vision, because Lenovo is a huge company. They have tons of products, right? This whole pocket to cloud continuum is a really challenging thing to stitch together. And there tends to be a proclivity to want to for organizations to just want to stay in their buckets, right? And so, and their silos. And so, we're seeing good progress from SSG. But one of the things I think is really cool is the progress Motorola is making. You know, that group, I mean, wow, under the leadership of Sergio, who I would say has been steadfast in his view on how to run his business and how to position and evolve that business. He is seeing a lot of results through dedication to his strategy, and hats off to that team. You know, they've made some really beautiful devices, and they're starting to make that move toward premium. And they're doing that with style and design, which I think is a bit sort of rare, especially in the way that they're doing it. And what I really appreciate is they don't copy Apple. Their stuff doesn't look like Apple stuff like other people, right? Where they quite slavishly just copy the styling of what Apple does. You know, Motorola's created their own identity. I think that's important. And I think it's working for them, you know?
Yeah, true. And also, I mean, if you look at business of Lenovo and everything from pocket to cloud, as they say, and a lot of these are a little bit disparate kind of businesses, right? And threading you know, common theme across them, and all the units agreeing, not only agreeing but implementing that in their messaging and products, I think it takes a lot of leadership and management from the top as well to make sure everybody falls in line, right? It's very easy to come with, oh, we should have a common message across all of our businesses at a executive level. But when you, you know, ultimately drill down to each of the individual businesses where they have to deliver, they have their own metrics and deliverables and the objectives, making sure you keep that in mind while cognizant of business of each, you know, objectives of each of businesses. That I think is critical, and we are seeing that is you know, gladly in Lenovo's case, in spite of these disparate kind of businesses, that is starting to happen. And I think AI, as Anurag mentioned, kind of pushing everybody to think together on a common theme and common objectives and common solutions and tie them together, right? So I think AI is helping them in one Lenovo message, in my view, and hybrid AI specifically, because there is a component in the cloud, there is a component on the device, there's a component in the edge cloud, and on handheld devices out there, as well as the PCs, and Lenovo having presence across the board with packet to cloud. You know, the hybrid AI has to be inherent to what they do, and then that is helping the one Lenovo message actually drill down to products and services, I think.
Right, and I think, you know, their messaging around the phased AI journey from being AI capable to hybrid AI transition to scalable hybrid AI is pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what do you guys think about the vision that YY set in his keynote in terms of evolution of how it is AI today to not only hybrid AI, but from a consumer case, there is a personalized AI. And when you move to enterprise segment, there is this digital twinning, you know, ultimately on both sides, kind of the ultimate aim of AI. I mean, that's it's kind of a longer term vision, sometimes hard to conceptualize in each of these businesses. So any views on it?
I can start, you know, and Leonard can expand on it.
Yeah.
So I think YY's vision, I think this is the first time I found YY's vision presentation to be really visionary. I think much better than previous years, because I think he's also realizing that organization has matured too.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a tremendous amount of growth opportunity within Lenovo.
Yeah.
So his vision for personal and enterprise agent or agentic AI is quite clear. It is becoming the logical North Star for the company, right?
Yeah.
What you talked about was the one personal AI, multiple devices vision.
Yeah.
I think powerful long-term strategy.
Mm-hmm.
For not only IDG, but the entire organization kind of unifies this entire compute or hardware portfolio from PCs to phones to wearables, and then utilizing the back-end infrastructure with the services built on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this vision, the enterprise vision of an AI-enabled company with agents in every function is the right end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And but how does Lenovo reach there? How quickly it reaches there? I think that we will have to see, because a key aspect of it is going to be ecosystem partnerships.
Yeah, indeed. Leonard?
Yeah, I think he did his job. He is the CEO.
Yeah.
His job to set the vision for the company.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, forward looking. And I think it was pretty, it's been pretty consistent with where we've seen things trending with quote unquote AI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to be frank, I'm not a big fan of digital twin. I kind of understand where he's trying to get at with that.
Mm-hmm.
Digital twin is a term fraught with just confusion.
Yeah.
Historically, it has not done well. And it's I think that aspect, so that far-reaching aspect of the vision that he laid out for me, where it was not as clear. I mean, and then let's remember, previous to that, there was Metaverse, right? And so it's hard to tell what are we actually doing here in terms of an end game with AI. But I do think that it does set guidance for the organization in terms of what they want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
The piece more near term is where there's going to be challenges in making all that practical.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these things are on the roadmap, and yeah, the environment right now is changing really quickly.
Yeah.
I think most players in the industry are about anywhere from a year to a year and a half behind on where AI really is. Okay. And so, you know, I think a lot of these themes are going to continue to morph as we move forward because the environment is very fluid. And so, but, you know, in terms of laying out a vision, I think we can probably continue to see YY adapt it in the future as everyone else is doing. It's very fluid. Right?
It's fast changing, but looks like the agentic AI, I think that's kind of is settling down, and that looks like that's where it is progressing for in the near future. But what comes after that, I think it's still at a vision level, and then, you know,
But I'll have to agree to disagree with that. It's far from settled.
I mean, it's settled in the sense that most of the things that are happening on the AI space are happening in terms of everything, converting everything into agent. Agent is going to be kind of a primary interface for AI that is happening on the background.
I guess it's
no matter where it is.
What you mean by agent. But yeah. I mean, this is just the most recent pivot. So a lot of things that are not, frankly, settled.
Maybe settled is not the right word, but for the time being, so far, right? Everything, all of the AI was only in concepts. But when you ultimately bring that to practice for actual use cases, for actual use by enterprises, especially, it has to take some form of how you introduce it, how the users interface with all of that AI goodness that that companies and larger players are building. And then it looks like, in my view at least, agent is kind of the interface right now for realization of all the concepts of AI and bring it to actual users. But we'll see how that progresses. Okay, so let's focus on specifically IDG, which is a large part of Lenovo Empire. Any views on what you saw? Obviously, they are number one in both consumer and enterprise PC segment. You know, and they had that leadership for several quarters so far, and they are relishing on that success. What do you guys think they are doing right? And what do you think, you know, they should be doing to keep that leadership going?
Right.
Let's take that.
Yeah, so it's a good question. So, you know, obviously their dominance is undeniable, right? You don't stay number one for 21 consecutive quarters by accident.
Absolutely.
When Lenovo is defending its core PC leadership relentlessly. And under NDA, we saw the roadmap that is coming forward.
Yeah.
It is futuristic. Mm-hmm. I think many of the things that we saw, you know, you said, okay, the future is bright, right? But let's come down to the present.
Yeah.
They are successfully executing beyond the PC pivot in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Leonard talked about Motorola.
Mm-hmm.
The Motorola revival is real.
Yeah.
Double-digit revenue growth.
Mm-hmm.
Number one in foldables, Razer in many markets.
Yeah.
In smart brand amplifying partnerships like Swarovski are expanding its ecosystem footprint.
Yeah.
Strategically, the one personal AI, multiple devices vision is absolutely the right long-term play.
Yeah.
It reframes Lenovo from a PC leader to an AI ecosystem leader. And you talked about the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So the biggest gap right now, and this is not just a Lenovo issue, it is an industry-wide problem, is articulating the immediate ROI for the AI PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as we discussed amongst ourselves and in an open dialogue at the GIAC, most customers, whether you look at an SMB customer or an enterprise customer, are future-proofing.
Correct. That's the reason for buying AI PC.
The NPU aren't there yet, right?
Yeah.
So I think Lenovo's big challenge is to work with the ISVs to build that software-led value proposition now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leonard, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think probably subliminally, a lot of the work they're doing in trying to bridge the cross-device experience mm-hmm. is something that it works in their favor, right? I mean, compared to everyone else, Lenovo puts a lot of attention into trying to figure out how to create those seamless cross-device experiences. And it's an area of innovation. You know, they introduced Smart Connect, and they're going to be doing even more stuff with it.
Correct.
And trying to create these bridges and fabrics that allow not only conventional computing experiences to be more, harmonious, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Across the Google, Android, and Microsoft Windows ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Hey, that it's, Prakash, how tough that is, right? I think they've put together a thoughtful portfolio of things, especially as you look at their collaboration with Intel, in particular with the Aura mm-hmm. edition, trying to bring that enterprise, the grade capabilities and differentiate themselves in the market with, differentiating features, yeah. right? Aura is specific. The Aura edition laptops are, specific to Intel.
They're collaborative. Yeah, only Intel, yes.
And so I think it's really leaning into making the concept of the AI PC mm-hmm. Enterprise grade in some fashion,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or enterprise friendly. I think that is something that I feel that they've done a pretty good job of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's still a lot of work to be done because you don't get the feeling that the ISVs have really landed on MPU yet. For all we know, given how fluid the AI computing situation is, the role of the MPU may change in the very near future,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The assumptions we had a year and a half ago may not be what people are going to have to bank on next year.
And I agree with a few comments. I think one thing that is kind of pretty apparent now that Lenovo has pivoted, instead of competing with every other competitor in those specific markets with industry's rules, they realize that, hey, we have such a breadth of products and markets and segments, we should play by our own rules. And that's what they're setting with this Novani AI cross device and so on, right? So they are utilizing their competitive superiority, using that and leveraging that to bring home experiences that only they can provide, not their competitors. I think that is a big change and big difference and big advantage that I'm seeing. And second thing, although in PCs and laptops, they have leadership, they're not just sitting on their laurels, right? In spite of being the leader, they are the ones talking about disrupting this industry with newer form factors, newer models. They're experimenting quite a lot. Some win and some lose, but they are the ones basically kind of bringing new things to this 3-decade-old PC industry, right? Laptop, all we know is like a square box with a display and a keyboard. How many changes yeah. I have seen, but in spite of being a leader, they are the ones trying to disrupt with newer concepts, with rollables, with the yeah. rotating display, and many, many such innovations, right? I mean, that I think I really like them, that they're not comfortable in their winning situation of this 21 quarters, but still trying to challenge themselves and to bring something new. That's one. And second, this what they could be doing better, should they be incentivizing ISVs to move some of the stuff or their software to NPU sooner? Right now, talking to a couple of the NPUs, I think when we initially, when we met last year, for example, there was this expectation that some of the corporate applications like security, device management and such, which are running 24/7 on the devices on CPU, eating battery, eating performance, can be easily moved to NPU and relieve CPU and improve battery performance and so on. From a concept that made sense, but there hasn't been a lot of progress there. And talking to some of the ISVs, I found that, okay, that concept looks good, but will that bring new revenue to us? No, it is the same revenue. Okay, it'll improve the performance and so on. And they're not putting that as their top priority right now. So maybe there's something as an industry, they should incentivize ISV to move some of the applications and utilize NPU in a better way, in my view.
Yeah. So I can add to it. You know, I think if you move beyond just the PC, right? I mean, Lenovo has a program called the Lenovo AI Innovators Program, right?
Yeah.
It's a global partner ecosystem which is designed to accelerate, I think, the business adoption of AI solutions by collaborating with ISVs, right? I think that they're doing pretty good, right?
Yeah.
They're saying, hey, they have got this three-stage approach, you know, I think explore, deploy, and scale is what they call it, right? So they're doing it, right? I mean, they have got this, Lenovo provides the AI-ready infrastructure with collaboration with Intel, NVIDIA, AMD, even VMware, and the customers benefit and the partners benefit, right?
Yeah.
And they are focusing on healthcare, manufacturing, financial services, retail, and smart cities, and things like that.
Yeah.
So in a way, they are kind of doing it, but from a one Lenovo perspective and not really only focus on their IDG devices.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. So, okay. And then on Motorola side, I mean, they've done great work, no question about it. My suggestion would be to look at, especially in the US market, they're primarily prepaid right now. I think their product, in terms of positioning, it's at a level, you know, could be a third premium brand in US, maybe go more aggressively on the operator carrier channel, right? They're not big on the carrier channel yet. It's primarily on the prepaid side, either direct to customer, even to operator, it's only prepaid. Maybe look at postpaid market. I think there is some opportunity there for them to look at too. And also there's so much of strength on the enterprise, but on the phone side is primarily consumer business right now. So leveraging that leadership in enterprise, I mean, you know, they should be looked at as well. Yeah.
I agree.
Now, moving to the next business, ISG. I think Neptune water cooling, I think it's great. It's winning across the board, and they made a good amount of splash about, you know, all it is doing, how they're working with the partners and such, right? So I think Neptune has been a great success for them.
Yes, it is true. It is true. I think let's can talk. I mean, I seem to start off the answer to your question first. So IAG is obviously smartly leveraging its HPC DNA to win the next wave of enterprise AI. And obviously, before GIAC, they announced some very specific SMB and mid-market focused, you know, solutions, which is kind of very nice of Lenovo to do that, because there is no single vendor who is, you know, focusing on the mid-market. In fact, I was told during the hallway discussions that Ashley Gorakhpurwala, and I think I happen to have a chat with him, that mid-market is a huge focus for him in ISG.
Yeah.
So I think that is pretty cool. And Neptune liquid cooling is the key differentiator, right? They are making a strong analytical bet that AI chip demands will make liquid cooling an enterprise necessity within the next 2 years. And their unique claim is not just about the technology, but their expertise in retrofitting existing enterprise data centers,
Which
is a massive practical customer challenge, right?
Yeah.
And then within the ISG, I think the high-profile, high-stakes partnerships with FIFA and DreamWorks, right, are critical.
Yeah.
they serve as global scale proof points that their infrastructure is reliable enough for the world's most watched events. I do not know how much of ISG solutions are being used within that partnership, but it is there.
Yeah, indeed. And they made sure, you know, they brought in FIFA and F1 executives to talk about the collaboration, how and how they are utilizing Linode technology. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think DreamWorks panel was excellent, right? I mean, DreamWorks SVP Cage, she had all the praise. I think she could be the best Lenovo spokesperson in my view, right?
Oh my God. I mean, she was so vibrant, so energetic, and she was giving very specific business and technical examples.
Leonard,
I was exposed to this stuff almost 3 years back. I actually took a tour of the DreamWorks animation studio where we saw the rendering farm where they used Neptune warm water liquid cool or warm water cooled servers, and so largely they're using it for GPUs, but as you probably saw, they support all kinds of configurations, whether CPU or if it's all GPU, it's a heterogeneous mix. I think to the point that Anurag made earlier, this is a really unique and differentiated offering that Lenovo has, because you know the reason why warm water cooling is different is because you're avoiding condensation because it's room temperature, right?
Yeah.
And then when you're you're cooling the water that has transferred heat, you don't need a chiller. You don't need to chill the water and bring it down below room temperature.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think one of the things that are not well known, because direct liquid cooling, is relatively a novel thing, right? Yeah. It's not something that a lot of people have been exposed to or really have needed to know about. It's really the NVIDIA Blackwell, these racks that require liquid cooling, but they don't use warm water cooling systems, So there are all these challenges with using these direct cooling systems, and they're not the same, right? And so one of the things that I think is an advantage of warm water liquid cooling is one of the points that Anurag mentioned, not just retrofitting. There are certain requirements that you no longer have, and it's easier to fit these things in a what you would consider a more traditional data center, configuration. And so there's a lot of benefits to it. And I think as there is a transition toward bringing some of these workloads more local within the enterprise, either on-prem or within a colo location, you're going to see this particular type of direct cooling, direct to chip cooling, really find a place, right? And again, it's unusual. It's not your typical stuff. I think it will see its day. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's already at last some extent. It's already seeing the day. It'll be one more, right? That's what I'm saying.
Well, not to the scale, because right now most of the direct liquid cooling is happening with the systems that are shipping with the NVIDIA stuff, right? That's a different type of system.
Yeah, cool. So moving to SSG, I think it's a good the tissue which connects all the bones of Lenovo together, and I think especially in the case of AI with Lenovo on Lenovo or Lenovo for Lenovo as they call it, they're able to kind of show how enterprises can utilize AI, right? I mean, they talked a little bit more last year about it, showing how they are using AI for their own operations in legal, marketing, contracting, and other cases. So, you know, it's kind of a big differentiator for Lenovo as well in terms of in getting ISG contracts and so on, because they can layer their services, which not other can provide, right?
I think this, I mean, again, this is an important spearhead group in this transformation that Lenovo talked about, you know, at least 3 years ago, mm-hmm. about making that transformation to a solutions company, mm-hmm. right? I think they have played an especially critical role in forming and promoting Lenovo's AI story holistically, yeah. right? I mean, I think a lot of the material stuff resides with this group, mm-hmm. right? Outside of, you know, AI PC and, you know, AI infrastructure build out and that aspect of the business, they're really providing relevance for these things that reside in IADG and ISG.
Yep.
And, you know, whether it's like AI Advantage and providing consultative service to help customers go to market really quickly with their stuff, mm-hmm. or figure out these AI factory concepts, they're in there as a SWAT team to help customers, you know, take concepts to value. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but even beyond just all the AI stuff, it's just bringing, solutions together for their, the non-AI
Correct.
Stuff.
Correct. Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, AI is a spearhead, but it is applicable across the board. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, the old stuff is super important, mm-hmm. and there's more of it, mm-hmm. you know, and I think, you know, the value of SSG is not just AI. Yeah. I don't know how much Lenovo appreciates that. I'm sure they do a lot, but it's all the other traditional stuff. How do you bring all those things together? How do you solve some of the old problems that haven't been fixed yet? Mm-hmm. How do you create blueprints for progressing quote unquote digital transformation, whether it's in the workplace or it's in, in the industrial environment or it's in data center or in the cloud? How do you solve existing problems and not putting, you know, all your attention to things that are still aspirational and haven't been figured out yet? You know, mm-hmm. I think they play a vital role in that as well. That can't be underestimated or underappreciated.
And it's a differentiator for all of that Linux to offer.
Well, the competition has similar stuff. It's just how, you know, right now it's the race to who can actually effectively make that transition to becoming a solution company. There are only a few of these in the world. I used to do this stuff, mm-hmm. studied a lot of companies to figure out in the back end, do they have all the systems to support making a transition or delivering on solutions? You know, because the way that an operating model of a hardware company is structured is different from software, is different from services, is different from, you know, a company that has a lot of innovations going on. Mm. It's different. And bringing all these things together into a system and under processes and then, you know, creating, again, those bridges is super, super hard. So anyone that says, hey, we're a solutions company today. Yeah, right. You know, you have to go through the hard work that Lenovo and others are doing. So it is still a race, right,
yeah.
to get there. Yeah. And it's a race that's been going on for quite some time, actually. It's not something, you know, IBM tried to do it or quote unquote tried to do it. yeah. You know, and it's arguable whether or not they ever achieved that. But I know it's super hard.
Yeah.
But it can be a differentiator, like you said.
Yeah. Anurag?
Yeah. So the way I kind of think about SSG is this group is really the proof in the pudding mm-hmm. for the one Lenovo strategy, right? Mm-hmm. The question is it just dependent on hardware? I think that was the case maybe last year or the year before, right? Mm-hmm. But now it is evolving into a powerful synergy, mm-hmm. not a dependency on the hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been growing tremendously by building on the around-the-box hardware foundation,
yeah.
but are rapidly expanding into high-margin growth businesses mm-hmm. like the DWS, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think they call it the Digital Workplace Solutions,
yeah.
which is kind of a tongue twister, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And hybrid cloud.
Yeah.
Then the AI opportunity for SSG is the new center of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to rapidly position themselves, and they're kind of moving towards it,
mm-hmm.
As the crucial implementation partner for the One Lenovo AI vision.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, IDG, ISG provide the hardware. SSG can be well positioned to provide the consultative AI services,
yeah.
The AI factory platform,
yeah.
And the AI library of use cases that SMBs, mid-market, and enterprises actually need to get to get from AI capable hardware,
yeah.
To a functioning in production solution. So in a way, what Leonard is saying is that they have started to take the steps towards it.
Mm-hmm.
How rapidly they move towards it, how rapidly they staff themselves, how rapidly they are able to fund this growth, that we'll have to see and watch.
Yeah. Indeed. And that's a great point to end our conversation today. So quickly, Anurag, if you could tell our audience on where they can find your research, content, and other information from you, and then followed that by Leonard.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. So anybody interested in the SMB, mid-market, core mid-market, upper mid-market, and the partner ecosystem, they can go to techaisle.com, techaisle.com. They will find tons of research and analytical articles that I myself write almost like twice mm-hmm. or thrice a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you will find tons of information, and there'll be a link to subscribe to our newsletter,
mm-hmm.
as well as send us an inquiry.
Cool. Thank you, Anurag. Leonard?
First off, Prakash, thanks for having us. It's very brave of you. No, I really appreciate it.
And keep it on time. Okay.
And then, exactly. And then, fully vouch for Anurag. Reach out to him. He's amazing. Quite simply, www.next-curve.com. I also have a Substack. It's Next Curve. Just go there for a lot of the, real analysis. I don't publish on LinkedIn anymore, any of my insights. I reserve all that from my Substack. So, check it out. And engage and subscribe. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was a great discussion. Thank you very much for all of your insights. And we kept it around 50 minutes, not that bad. thank you again for coming over to Tantra's Mantra.
Thank you very much, awesome. Prakash. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Prakash.
All right, thanks again, folks. So, folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.